Been like my little fave five for the Grizzlies. All of them, I think, gonna be good. Like it was a Khalil Ware, Dalton Connect, Zach Edey.
That's right. Good.
What's my boy with San Antonio?
Castle.
I think he gonna be good.
My boy with Detroit. Starting.
I think he gonna be good too. Maybe not this year though.
Ron Holland.
Yeah, I liked him too.
Yeah, I actually like Ron Holland too. I agree with you, but he's just not. That's the problem. Like
Detroit, poverty, bro.
Castle only played 18 minutes last night.
Yep.
He's not playing over Chris Paul.
I'm gonna say one more thing too, man. Before y'all let me up out of here, I do not like what Utah is doing, bro. Like, I think it's a disgrace to the game, disgrace to the league, and a disgrace to the guys on their team. That team should be good, bro. I'm not going to say good like championship good, but they should be a team that can compete for the play-in and the playoffs. And they're going to play okay for the next few weeks. Then they're gonna pull the plug, and they're going to shut everything down. I'm like, bro, even if you get your dude, man, you've been grooming dudes on this team to be ass for 5 years. Like you've been – like, there's like what's going to make them be good if they get Cooper Flagg? Like, you get Cooper Flagg, right? You just can't say, okay, y'all, be good this year. No, man, you've been allowing those dudes to be bums, and they picked up bummy habits.
Yeah,
that team should be good. When I saw Utah's the first game, I was like, crap, we may lose this game.
That's what he said.
And they just went dead at the end of the game. Like, man, you're putting really bad habits. Those type of things are cool for like a year, and then you need to start trying to put some winning habits with your team and make some moves to put your team in position to win. Tanking for multiple years on top of each other with the same guys there. Like, people talk about, like, how good is Lauri Markkanen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my response is, I really don't know how good Lauri Markkanen is. Because I've never seen him play a game that actually matters.
No question.
You know what I mean? Like,
no question.
Because he's been on a tanking team his entire time in Utah.
Sure has.
Now, that's not all the Jazz's fault. That's his fault, too.
Who?
Jason's.
Why?
Because he came over from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
He was on bad teams there, to your point, though. He's always been on slot.
I just think I understand the point of tanking and putting yourself in the best position to get lottery balls or whatever. But, man, that Utah team has some dudes. John Collins is a good player. Colin Sexton, he got his pigmentation back. The brother looking good. You know what I mean?
Sexton.
He can play.
George can play.
Keontae George can play. Of course, Lauri Markkanen. Walker Kessler can play. That team has – some guys that should make their team where they can have a pulse.
Be better.
And they're going to look good for the next couple weeks, and then they're going to pull the plug.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And knowing Danny Ainge, he sees a great white American basketball player. He pulling that plug probably at halftime of the Grizzlies game. He's like, I ain't taking no risk. We're going to be as bad as
remember
we can.
Remember when the Jazz had Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, bro?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
They were the best team in the West.
They had, like, a team.
And that team, that
and
fan
then
base.
They didn't.
That fan base is a prideful team that is used to seeing decades of good play in there. And Danny Ainge is coming there and just making them turn them into scrubs. And it's horrible, bro.
They were a 52-win team in 2020, 2021.
Remember they played us? We came out of the play-in. They were the one seed.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then every year since then, it's been getting worse and worse. So, the rebuild is on for sure in Utah. He is Anthony Sain. Catch him Bluff City Media. Joins us every single Friday here. Appreciate the time. As always, Big Dog.
Yes, sir.
We'll come back with the rundown. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Black Tie Moving is changing, moving in the city of Memphis, because when you're moving, you're not just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life. They understand that at Black Tie Moving. They're going to treat your stuff like it's their stuff, which means that it's going to get taken care of. That's why I love Black Tie. I've used them twice. I'll use them again. Although, I think I'm just going to kind of sit where I'm at. I'm going to love what I have. Right, I'm going to improve the house I have as opposed to move. But you never know. You never know. I'm a fickle man. So if I ever do have to move again, you know I'm using Black Tie. Jeffrey Wright did a couple weeks ago. He's a happy man. I see him walking around. He's smiling. He just can't believe his life, how fortunate he is. 316-6196 is the phone number. Give him a call. It's Black Tie Moving, Change and Moving the City of Memphis. Call today. Before we get into the rundown, there was an incident that happened. I'm not snitching. I'm not going to describe.
It literally just occurred to me.
I'm not snitching. No, I'm not. I'm not going to describe the vehicle.
But she got away.
She
and saying you're about
allegedly. We don't know.
Okay.
We don't know that she got away. I mean, she drove away. We don't know that she got away with it. But before the show began, I went outside to grab one of my three Mountain Dews. People think I'm capping about this. People think I don't really walk the talk or walk the walk. I drink at least 6 Diet Mountain Dews a day. I'm like that. I'm him.
I'm only drinking 1 Coke in the time that you're drinking 3. So
right.
You tell me who's.
Now, what? Now that's a 2-liter.
No, it's just 1 can of Coke on some ice.
That's just 1 can?
And a big Coke.
And you make that last 3 hours?
Yes.
That's disgusting.
Well, it's an improvement for me.
Reprehensible.
I was drinking more when we started.
You need more.
You went out to get your mini Mountain Dews and then what?
you're out there, as usual, partaking and enjoying the environment around the facility, and you alert me to...
Yeah, I was bird watching.
There was a bird out there, that's for damn sure, and she was angry. She was an angry bird. And you alert me to this woman who is in her vehicle across the parking lot throwing what appears to be eggs at a car or building.
George, you're lucky you didn't get egged.
And she is like reloading, and she's like throwing egg after egg after egg at a car. I don't know. It appears as though she had that Bryce Young accuracy, because I don't know that she was really like landing the eggs.
No, many hit the ground.
Yeah, like she
around
just
around the cars.
Now Bryce is getting the start this weekend, but
that's
hopefully
only because he's forced to.
Right,
right.
The wreck. Yes, hopefully he looks a little bit better than this woman did. And as we were watching it happen, we were just enjoying it, right? Like it was a spectator sport.
You just don't see this every day.
I certainly wasn't going to try to stop her from doing it. She gets back in her car. She drives off very calmly. Like, it wasn't no, like, skirt. It was like, you know, she got done with her carton of eggs, and she moved on. And you said something that was interesting to me. You said that was the way it used to be handled. In so many words. Like,
jokingly, yes.
Oh, you meant it as a joke.
Well, I meant it as I would prefer that it's handled that way by her as opposed to... her taking a bat to my car or
right.
keying it or whatever else just because I can wash the eggs off. And while that is not condoning it,
yeah.
as Dennis needed to remind me, so like look, no, you're yeah, not yeah, supposed yeah, to throw yeah, eggs yeah. at cars.
Right, right.
Not, and so I need to make sure I say that. If you're going to take out your anger or frustration, is that not, you know, one of the quote-unquote nicest ways to do it?
I suppose so.
Yeah, you can wash the egg off. This woman was clearly very angry because she had at least 12 eggs.
At least 12 eggs.
Carton.
Now, when I had come out there, she had already been launching a few at least.
Yes, she had. And she may have had more than one carton. But again, not some, this is not Halloween where you see kids
right.
doing this.
Oh, no. She was on the phone.
She was on the phone angry.
Yes.
Throwing eggs at the cars of a, and I don't want to say the place because
that would then
qualify.
That's
probably.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. From a
they could be looking for
practical perspective. Do you think? And I'm asking you to kind of be John Gruden here. Do you think that her being on the phone potentially led to the accuracy issues? Because you know you're sort of equilibrium, right? You're focused on the phone. You're trying to, you know. Do you think that maybe if she had ended that conversation, she would have been more successful with the eggs and the accuracy?
Probably so, but it sounded like that she was going off.
She was going off on somebody while egging that person potentially.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that she could separate the two.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just feel
nor
like,
do I know how she throws that thing.
Oh,
on a regular basis.
I saw it. I saw it. It was.
She
it
might
was,
not have much. She didn't look like she had much of an arm.
No, she's definitely lacking in the power.
That's what I'm talking about. So I won't say that it would have been better
because most of them were falling
not, on the phone.
Not only off, but they were short. They were like she didn't have that downfield strength. Like she was kind of thrown in the wind. It looked like a little bit, and
the distance
like
was
little,
an issue.
Like a little Brady White-ish.
Yeah.
You know, she needed to kind of step up and dink and dunk them, you know, as opposed to trying to go downfield, just wasn't really there for her in this instance. And she just kind of drove off calmly, she, which I appreciate. You know, we live in a, as we know.
You can't stay there doing it because they're
right.
probably called the police.
Oh, it sounds calculated.
It's certainly calculated. Yeah.
And inexpensive.
And here's the thing. Are we former employee?
Hard to speculate.
What could have caused that type of anger?
When you want to egg somebody, is it a lover? Is it a...
I don't think it's a lover.
You think a lover would be more extreme measures?
Heightened measures.
Right, right, right. So, okay, so maybe is it an employee that was fired? I think that, you know, because you don't... So that makes... That, again, I don't know that
because you're not going back.
Right. You're not going back.
You weren't just
maybe it was
up.
Like maybe it was your manager that you're on the phone with. I don't know. I'm totally speculating here. But... yeah, listen, we live in a violent city. There's no question about it. And so I think this constitutes progress that we're just throwing eggs now.
Yeah, she could have keyed the car. She could have taken a bat to them.
Yeah.
But she decided to go eggs.
Yeah.
For me, it's not the worst thing.
It's an inconvenience for the person that – but again, I think the person's car was spared. She missed, I think, every egg. And so, again, you know, is it the way to handle it? I don't know.
If she's listening, I'd ask her, you know. This too shall pass.
It will. It will.
You know, and one door closes for you, honey.
Yeah, that's right. And I would also say, get back in the lab. I mean, you know, you're just not even close. to where you need to be. If you're going to egg somebody, I mean, good God, sister, you need to land one or two.
It looked like it had been a long time since she'd thrown something.
Right. Otherwise, you're just wasting everybody's time. You're just sitting out there watching. It was hard to watch. It was like watching Kyle McCord last night.
With four or five picks?
Yeah. It was just like miss after miss after miss after miss. You kind of want to go over there and kind of help her out, kind of straighten her, you're like, hey, let's like turn our body like a 12-degree angle here. Let's put a little more elbow grease in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But again, we kind of just want to let it happen.
Yeah, things that make you go, hmm.
That's right.
That's what it did for us this morning.
But that was a fun little that was some excitement around the building this morning. Brad got hacked on Instagram. That is not Brad. He does not drive a Mercedes. Or does he?
BMW.
BMW. He does drive a BMW. But Brad is not black. So for those of you who have seen the pictures of Brad on Threads, that is not him. That is someone who has hacked his account. And it doesn't sound like he's ever going to get it back. So, you know, no more daily reports on Instagram from 92.9's lineup. I don't know, Jason, can we count on you to post those now?
Sure. I'll do my best.
That man ain't posted on Instagram since COVID. So it's going to be tough. We're going to miss out on those. But anyway, yeah. So.
Latest breaking, though, on the Instagram saga, you know, for us around here, supposedly,
mm-hmm.
Brad was getting it sorted.
Okay.
He should be good. Back into his account.
All right.
Well, maybe he's also not trying to sell Mercedes-Benz either.
Right. If you're dumb enough to, you know, buy a Mercedes from Brad or click a link that Brad sends you about, you know, I'm sorry. Sorry. But no, in all seriousness, I know there are people that can't discern that, right? So if you get a link from Brad, don't click it. Don't click it because it's not him. It's someone that's in the United Kingdom that is hacked. It's exactly right. So what kind of links is Brad clicking on, man? I mean, that's what we really need to find out. You know, we're putting King George in a tough spot. But see, it's very interesting that Brad's not here to answer for that today.
Isn't it?
You know, like he doesn't want to be accountable for the links that he's clicking over there on Instagram, what kind of information he's entering there on the dark web.
Yeah, tighten up.
I got hacked on Twitter once. I don't even know how. But, you know, your information, man, it just pops up on the dark web. I got an email alert from Capital One where I have one of my accounts.
And same thing.
And it says, your social security number and la 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 has appeared in the dark web. Dude, like, what the hell am I supposed to do about that?
The first time I saw it, I was concerned, but what I've got 10 to 15 more.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know.
So what can I do? I mean, it is what it is.
My man Tony says get one of my ID locks.
I got a call.
LifeLock, whatever one of those things.
I got a crazy call. These scams are getting so elaborate, bro. I got a call like Friday of last week. We'll get to the run. We got time, right? But this is kind of interesting. I got a call from somebody. It was a 731 number like near here. And I answer the phone, and I expect it to be kind of a scam, but it didn't pop up as a scam. And it's somebody says, hey, is this John Martin? In a sort of foreign voice, but like not really. And I said, this is him. Who is this? And the guy's like, I'm so-and-so from the King County or whatever. I don't even know what county it was. He's like, we have some legal documents that we're going to be sending out to your house. We just want to make sure that you're there. You know, for those documents. I'm like, okay, what's the address? He gives me an address. I said, what is this about? He says, I can't disclose the information. I'm not at liberty to disclose the information as to what this is about, but I just want to make sure you'd be at home. I said, okay, and who are you looking for? And he says my name again. And I'm like, what's my social security number? What's my birthday? He's like, I can't give you your birthday, but I can give you the last four of your social. I'm like, okay, what is it? And he gives me four numbers. They're wrong. I'm like, that ain't me, pal. That ain't me. And then he's like, hello? Hello? Hangs up. But I don't know what the end game there is,
wow.
But it was very elaborate. It was very like they knew my name, they knew my address, they knew enough about me to where, you know.
But he only wanted to know whether or not you were going to be
right.
Home.
But like what was next?
What was the game?
What was next? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But like I fear for like our elderly, you know, because they're not these scams with AI
too. Get their money taken
are only going to get more intelligent. You know, and harder to know the difference, you know? So I always tell people, man, if you're an old person, call your son or your daughter or somebody that you love, like who can help you because, these folks are out here to get your money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They are here to scam your ass. That happened to Brad. Brad got scammed. Now he's selling a Mercedes on Instagram from the United Kingdom.
It's not him.
You know, so that's unbelievable. All right. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's get it. Talked about the Grizzlies. Let's talk about this college football slate this weekend.
Okay.
And then if you want to circle back to the Grizz, man, you can do that. We can talk a little Rams, you know, a little Thursday night football. I mean, whatever you want to do, man, because there was some, I think, some big picture fallout from that game. But in terms of the college football picture this weekend, got Memphis taking on Charlotte tomorrow. That number's come down from 19.5. It's around 17.5 right now. You know, we've talked about it. I mean, there's just, you know, no world where you should be laying big numbers with Memphis football. Charlotte is
didn't feel good about it last week. That's right. Tried not to feel good
that's
about
right.
it.
I mean, I do think Charlotte is, if we're just going to use, let's just use what North Texas closed, 10.5. Do I think Charlotte is 7 points worse, just 7 points worse than North Texas? I think they're probably worse than that. But Memphis didn't cover the 10.5, right? They that was a game. North Texas led in the fourth quarter. I just think it's too many points with the way that Memphis kind of plays. I think they kind of just play to survive, and I would not be laying. I'm not taking the 17.5 because it's just not something that I'm interested in this weekend. But I would not in any world lay 17.5. They could cover it. They could just get a Charlotte team that's totally let go of the rope. We know Biff is good for a couple of those performances every single year, but I just don't like it. I don't like it. It's too big of a number for me.
That's as bad a defense as North Texas is and a way worse offense.
Yes.
Their offense, yes. Charlotte's, is as bad as its defense.
Yes.
North Texas had a great
a bad
offense.
Team. It's a bad team.
And a horrible defense.
But, I mean,
this is bad on
this
both
is their
sides.
Biggest game of the year. I mean, if you're going to get up, this is probably the one you get up for. You know, if you have a competitive bone in your body.
Well, it's also homecoming for Memphis. Don't
oh, yeah.
That.
Yeah.
You know, we're the ones going to be fired up, John.
Yeah, I was you know, they play the the alma mater, right? They play the national anthem and they play the alma mater.
Okay.
Now, I know you're not supposed to talk during the anthem.
Right.
But is it fair game to talk during the alma mater?
Sure.
Okay, cuz it felt like I was going to be judged for that if I was talking to my buddy during, and I have to stand up for it too cuz I did not do that. You know?
You just don't like the going to Tigers games, do you?
I didn't like
the people you were around. You told us about. You said you.
I do.
I'm not gonna move. I'm just gonna leave. I don't like you fans.
It's not that.
So it sounds like you're having a bad time.
It's like when you're among people that care about something more than you. You know, it's just like not. It's not ideal. It's not ideal. Like I don't. Like, I mean, I'm a proud University of Memphis graduate, bro. I don't know a single word to the alma mater.
Well, no, I would never.
Nor do
I
you.
Would never fess to saying. I would never say that I did.
Right. I'm just saying, like people.
You,
like,
I was Mr. Commuter, bro. I did not.
That's what everybody is.
No,
is there anybody
anymore.
That's not commuter?
Not anymore. They got a nice little on campus sort of neighborhood now.
Okay.
It's not the old.
That's true. They got the apartments now.
Yeah. It was Tiger High back in my day.
Yeah. Yeah. You had. Ratchet Ash Richardson Towers. That's
yeah,
all
exactly.
we had.
You get on campus, you get off. You know, get back to your
right.
Problem. That was me. But it's a great experience now from everything I've gathered.
I appreciate
much
that, Dr.
Hargrave. And I would probably, to your point, be more willing because I'd be in more groups, mm-hmm. maybe even a fraternity, more willing to learn that school song.
Okay,
I was just there to get that paper.
Well, we'll definitely get you on that this weekend. We'll make sure you get the alma mater to your inbox. So you got Charlotte this weekend.
Thank you, Shirley,
for Memphis around the AAC. Probably the biggest game of the weekend is. This Navy hosting Notre Dame.
Yeah. Are you just going to skip tonight, though? Or you? I thought, why not go in chronological?
Well, I'm just on the American
game.
Right now.
Yeah, tonight's a big game.
We could touch on Friday, man. Okay. I'm on the American tip right now.
No, Navy-Notre Dame's interesting if you, you know, whether or not you believe that much in Navy. Mm-hmm. I heard Jeffrey Wright say, no, lay the points.
Right.
Everybody else, he says, the
yeah.
public, and you would know this,
yeah.
is with Navy.
Yeah, so
they're not going to get blown out of this game.
Right. So the thing about the public deal is that the public does win, right? I mean, the public has to win. Otherwise, they would never bet. Not most of the time.
That's
correct.
That's
but
why Vegas is Vegas.
They could lose 52% of the time and win 48% of the time. They're still losing, right?
Yes.
So, and I think that's kind of what it is. I don't care so much about what the public thinks on that one. I do. Where my concern comes in is that Notre Dame is elite defensively, mm-hmm. and it's the first good defensive team that Navy has played this year, right? And I also believe Navy has lost six in a row to this Notre Dame team. So, you know, Freeman is going to absolutely – like they're not limping into this. They're not coming in like this 1-5 Navy team. They're ranked.
Yep.
And there's no, like, surprises. There's no hiding. you know, Notre Dame's coach is probably like, yo, if we lose this game, we're out.
No, I'm right. So they've studied this.
Yes, yes.
They've studied this Navy offense.
That's why the number is out to 14, two touchdowns on the road. Or is it technically on the road? It's a neutral, right? Technically? Because it's in wherever. I don't care, man. I don't care where it is. It's 14. I'm not laying it. I don't have a lot of college.
It's at MetLife.
So. Right. So I don't have a lot of college football action this weekend. I have two games. I have UConn -6.5 over Rice, and then I have the over in the Washington State game. So I don't have a ton of action on college football this weekend. But I do like Notre Dame to win the game for sure. As much as I love Navy, you are asking these folks to go from playing the absolute dregs of college football to one of the best defenses in the country, and I just don't think that's going to be an easy transition. Again, I'm high on them, love them, think they'll be right in the mix in the AAC, and they're every bit as good as their ranking suggests, but this is a big jump for them. And I think those are the big ones, because I think Army's off this weekend. Tonight in the group of five, you have the potential, maybe a playoff decider in many ways, depending on who wins it. Boise State, UNLV. Boise State on the road at UNLV. Boise is a -3.5-point favorite. Mm-hmm. You guys know I was a big fan of Haj Malik Williams in his first start against Fresno. Made that bet. Have not really paid much attention to UNLV since then. They've been getting it done. Looked a little ugly last weekend against Oregon State.
Yeah,
they did get
20,
the win.
Mm-hmm. 33-25.
With that being said, I would love to know how UNLV plans to tackle Ashton Jeanty, because nobody seems to be able to do it.
Not even Oregon.
Yeah. Boise
in the
game.
That game, but he performed well.
I like Boise in the game, just because are you going to be able to answer Boise every single time? I mean,
you're going to have to play pretty much mistake-free football.
You're exactly
too,
right.
So, yeah.
And the home field sucks for UNLV. It's non-existent, bro. People don't go to those games. Don't get it twisted. Like, you look around, there's 15,000-20,000 people there. It's not like some... Oh,
my guy
Vegas
from
on fire.
My guy from VSIN that Jeffrey has on, he'd be there.
Oh, is he a big UNLV guy?
Yeah, he's in Vegas, and he's going. He's
well, I mean,
I think,
that's
I think
a
I heard
fun
that
thing.
He might be at this. I think
I'm sure he will
going
be,
to
yeah.
this one. Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
This is the game.
It's the game.
And it's Friday night. I'm just
other than, anytime the Raiders play, which
it's
is
the
main
game
event
in the Mountain
town.
West, yes.
I like Boise in the game. I might actually bet Boise -3.5.
Why not?
It was 3, so I don't love betting 3.5. You know, that's kind of stupid, but, if you think they're going to win, they're probably going to win by, a touchdown.
I'm sorry, Haj, but come on, it all comes crashing back down.
Oh, yeah, it happens.
Their defense has been a little suspect,
exactly.
Which is unusual, right? Under Odom, it should be better.
Yes, and I think Boise was off last week, so they had the extra week to prepare, and that's why they're a 3.5-point road favorite. Are we aligned on that one?
Yes, we are.
Just because Jeanty is just unstoppable, bro. Like, it makes the quarterback's job so freaking easy,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And he's only thrown 2 picks. Like, he's played
yeah.
well, too. Madsen or whatever his name
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Saw that the other day.
Anything else?
On college football? Yeah.
You got a lot of SEC games.
You think Alabama's 17.5 points better than Missouri at home? Missouri's ranked. Are they 17.5
yeah,
points?
Yeah, because Missouri's, they're ravaged. Cook's out. The starting running back is out. Second wide receiver's out.
Cool.
I mean... The game that I like in the SEC this weekend is Vandy +18.5 against Texas.
No, sir.
You don't like Vandy?
Nah, because Texas is mad. I like
Vandy's ranked, you hate to
I like the what's the Pavi. I like the story, Vandy story.
You don't like it a lot. You don't like
him,
it enough.
I gave him respect, Burger. There's a good chance they don't win another game to get bowl eligible. Well,
you ain't
got
to win to be eight plus 18.5.
Was it Ball State? I'm talking about bowl eligibility.
Yeah.
And the rest of this schedule, Ball State might very well be the last win for them, and there's a good chance they get crushed because Texas was embarrassed last week.
Yeah.
They learned who the real SEC is.
Yeah.
It's Georgia still.
But I'm just saying from a number perspective.
Yeah.
I think Texas
is motivated to roll these folks. Alabama struggled. You want to show that you're a better team? You want to show that you're still the team that you say you are after looking so bad offensively last week? You're going to absolutely roll Vandy here.
But let me ask you this.
You're going to put Vandy back in its place.
Let me ask you this.
Will run the score up.
Wow.
Now, I can tell I'm talking you out of it. Don't feel good about Vandy plus 18.5.
I did
weird
not
that you
know,
feel good
I
about
did not
it.
Know that I was doing this show with Vince Young.
Dude, I just gave Vandy a respect burger 2 weeks ago. We talked about you're going to get Ball State. This is great. Like, the turnaround's been great, 5-2. It ends there. Like, they're going to have a hard time getting bowl eligible, so it was the time to give them a respect burger. It's about to be, more of what
they'll
you typically
Auburn,
see.
They'll beat Auburn. They'll beat South Carolina.
We'll see.
You're not a believer. Interesting.
No, they should get bowl eligible. They should win.
Well, they are 5 right now. Yeah, I mean, it is tough. I mean, they just need one more. They need two
more. One more. 6.
They'll get one more. That might be it, though.
Texas, it's at Auburn. Hugh better not lose that game.
Oh, he's losing every game.
Then South Carolina's at home. They should win that one.
They'll probably go 1-4.
That's the one. That's the one I'd circle right there. I don't think Hugh. Come on, bro. We falling that far, Hugh?
Yes, his quarterback is awful.
I know it's bad this year, but we're not losing to Vandy at home, or else otherwise fire me today.
Look, man, I don't know what Vandy did to you, but this agenda.
But they're not beating LSU, and they're certainly not beating Tennessee to close the year. So, if you're going to circle one and say that's it, South Carolina's the one. And maybe at Auburn, but I think Hugh's not the – Hugh hadn't fallen that far. Perhaps he has.
I feel like there's another one. Oh, LSU A&M.
Oh, yeah. Is A&M real? That's the story there.
They opened 3. They're down to 1. Mm-hmm. So the market does
not I like my boy Nussmeier.
Yeah, he's been slinging that thing, bro. He
gets it done.
When I think about the most natural –
I picked him over Arkansas last week. He made me look good.
Yep.
And in the week 4. What was the bigger made the plays down the stretch.
Yes, he did.
Plus, he didn't. You can't get to him. Like the guy's getting rid of it. He's
no. I was going to say the guys in the in college football who seem to get it out the quickest are him and Shadur.
Yes.
Like I think those are the two probably the quickest throwers in the country. So, I have to agree with you on LSU. And the A&M's quarterback has been really shaky.
You just get off the Vandy plus 18.5. We'll be running into the weekend holding hands together.
What is we're really Vandy on the same need page to do? Here. I mean, they're ranked, man. They did not get a vote from you in the top 25 this week?
No.
Damn, bro. Damn, I'm sorry, Vandy.
Again, it's not disrespect. We respected the job that they did through 6 games.
Right.
It's over.
It's
now
the next one. I'm trying to think, are there any other? I think there's like maybe a couple other ranked, like outside of the SEC. I might be mistaken.
Next time, just don't try to do it off the top of your head.
Yeah, I mean, I should be better than this though, because usually I have this programmed in my brain. But
it's not a great weekend.
No, it's not
a memorable weekend here, especially compared to last week.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting into that time. Tulane's playing North Texas. They're 8-point favorites on the road. So
I just don't see the letdown for Tulane against that North Texas
team. Yeah, my hopes are
their defense is
incredibly
so bad.
High on that one. So anyway, that I think
I mean, Illinois, Oregon, you mentioned that, right? It's 1 versus 20. You were just saying ranked.
Oh, that's ranked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the over in that one. That's about it.
Poor Mike Norvell is probably going to get his head bashed in again.
Yep.
Oh, that's it.
I actually love Miami in that game, bro. They're 21-point favorites, but I just don't see how Florida State competes. They're so bad on offense. They're so bad. I know Miami plays with his food, bro, but I don't even know how that's possible with this Florida State team, dog. Is DJ back?
I don't know.
I don't think it matters.
It doesn't look like it from the line.
I don't think it matters, bro, at this point. But we'll be watching college football for sure. Lots of very interesting games in the group of 5, that's for sure.
How about this one? The Rams, who many had thought, it's starting to get rumored that if they kept losing, and maybe even if they had lost last night, they were looking seriously at the possibility of trading guys like Cooper Kupp and starting over, perhaps, or at least trading him to a contender, seeing what you could get. They throw that out the window, though, because they upset the Vikings 30-20. We said upset, what was it, John? 3, I think the number was. They were 3-point underdogs at home against a Vikings team that was 5-1, obviously coming off its first loss to Detroit. And you got to say it's Stafford down the stretch, man, 279 yards, but the 4 touchdowns, just not, that's the difference between, rookie quarterbacks that haven't seen exotic blitzes that Flores and Minnesota will throw at you, and a veteran like Matthew Stafford, who didn't get sacked last night at all by what's a very good Minnesota defense. He handled it. And in the end, I will say this, you have to, even though I was pulling hard for the Rams, obviously because we knew what side John was on going into that game. Vikings got screwed end of game. They still had to go 97 yards and had to get a touchdown with no timeouts and then the 2-point conversion to tie. However, Sam Darnold, in what was clearly a face mask penalty, was allowed to be sacked back there in the end zone. You get the safety there. The Rams get it. They shouldn't have. And frankly, as a scoring play, that play should have been reviewed. A lot have talked about what should be, changing the rules now. You should be able to review a play. But because it was a scoring play, it obviously, the Rams got a safety out of it. It should have been reviewed from that angle. I don't understand why, and whatever way you need to be able to go look at something like this. Now, is that saying you need to be do a, you know, instant replay on every call? No, you can't do that. But in a game like last night, when it is so obvious that the refs missed one, and listen, they're going to pay a price. Most folks, I was listening to talk about that officiating crew and the talk of those, you know, that have analyzed these things in terms of with officials. You blow it like that, they're not doing playoffs. That staff's going to be already off. You're like a dead man, you know. You'll get the rest of your regular season games, but you can forget.
Yeah.
Because only the highest graded officiating crews make the playoffs and certainly then the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That staff, that crew can count itself out after last night's loss.
Right.
All of it said, Minnesota's still probably going to lose the game because, again, they had to get eight with no timeouts.
The probabilities were like 10% to score a touchdown, 50% to get the two-point conversion after that, which I think is high because I think the league average is 30. And then 50% to win in overtime, which feels correct.
But so, even the Rams player, like
he
was reacting to it,
he had
his head. He put his hands on his head because he knew he had just gotten them a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah,
it was not called. What's crazy is the official is standing right there
in the
end zone. He's literally right there watching it in the end zone. I don't know if you saw it, but LASIK used the photo as an ad opportunity. Said, you know, you guys can come and get the surgery anytime you want to. Not a good look for the official. I think that was the head official, too, that was right there staring at it. And LASIK gets a good advertising opportunity. Sorry, Vikings.
Yep.
But frankly, it probably shouldn't have been at that point to be down eight there late against the Rams team. I will say, man, they look a lot different when you got Puka and you got Cooper Kupp out there. Kyren Williams looked good last night, 23 carries for 97 yards.
Yeah.
Rams get the win, and maybe, you know, they decide, hey, we're still competitive.
Yeah.
We're looking over at the San Francisco 49ers. They're banged up. We're 3-4.
Yep.
We're not going to sell away parts at this point. We're gonna go for the playoffs. And so there you have the Rams. Vikings will be fine.
Yeah, just real quick. I mean, I think it's, you know, that was a sharp bet from you there on the plus three.
I was wondering if some reciprocation was coming after all the patting on the back I did of you yesterday.
Yeah.
It's about that time.
We talk about it.
I'm going to sit back and let you talk.
What's funny is people don't know this. You know it because you're sitting across from me. But many times during the show, like, I will put in bets, like, as we're even having a discussion sometimes. And that was the case yesterday when we were – I don't remember exactly what it was that you said about –
I said, I think this is interesting, John, and I think the square man is going to pick the, and that's how we got into it.
The square man's
going to pick the Vikings.
And then we did a little digging, and then we saw that Puka is going to play in this game, and play did he ever.
Now, you found that because I knew about Kupp. You found the fact that Puka was close. But Chernoff thought Puka wasn't going to do much.
Yeah, no, he did not. Because typically the way it works with Sean McVay is whatever he says, is he lies. He lies quite a bit about usage and things like that. But last night, Puka got plenty of work.
Well, he didn't have a padded practice beforehand, though.
That's what he was saying. Yeah. No, it makes sense. Like, that's why everybody was betting his unders.
Right.
And if you did bet his overs, like, they were pricing him as though he was basically like a Ray McLeod, you know? So, like, 70-plus yards was, like, 9-1.
That's what I'm saying. So, you couldn't have drawn a whole heck of a lot of confidence about Puka yesterday based on what we
heard. No question.
You knew he was back, but we all thought low on him.
Yes. But, you know, the way I looked at it was, all right, Coop's going to get a full game, and at the absolute least, Puka will be a decoy.
He'll be out there,
you know,
and drawing attention.
Yeah. And so, listen, it wasn't the biggest bet of my life, but it was certainly a nice bet. It was definitely never really in doubt.
Let's talk when it was 14-7, you saying it's one of the dumbest bets you ever made, trying to make me feel bad.
I said it's not the worst bet I've ever made.
This guy, down 14-7, he tried to make me feel guilty.
No,
George.
I didn't.
Yes, he did, about planting it in his brain. Stop. It's an absolute lie.
Look, I was not blaming you at all.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, John does this all the time. How could he be so down already so early? This is a guy who knows this thing's four quarters. He does it every single night.
Yes.
How's he overreacting to just being down four? And what happened?
Well, look.
Then you said the game was never in doubt. No, they tied it up.
They tied it up, and then they never looked back.
But you were a little concerned, too concerned too early, I thought, for a professional.
This is what I do.
Better.
I bitch. That's what I do. Like when
I see.
Like when
and you gave it to me.
Yeah.
So
like,
what does Sam have to hear?
Oh no, I usually just do it sort of internally.
Oh,
right?
Okay. Yeah, she doesn't have. I don't know.
Yeah.
I had to get it.
But when my bet looks like it's the wrong side, I definitely bitch.
It's like, well, it wasn't the dumbest bet I ever made, Jason.
I did not say it like that.
Thanks for this loser.
I did not.
And that is literally how it was coming. You understand that's how it was coming across.
Well, the only reason why I said that to you is because we were talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Like we were reacting to the game as it was happening. We were texting each other the whole game. You know, so you were just getting my intrusive thoughts. You know, it wasn't like, it wasn't like it was, I'm trying to blame you. I'm the one that made the bet, bro, at the end of the day. So I only had myself to blame. But it was a fun night. Love that Rams team when they're healthy. I really do. And it feels like they're on the up and up. So could be more opportunities to back them and fade those Vikings who have had the masks kind of taken off of them
a little bit,
the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll come back. Lots more to come. We'll talk Grizzlies, obviously. Get into the NFL slate this week. I do have some more action this week, and so we'll touch on that and more. Excellent. Stick around. Jason and John, Turn FM, ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency, they're the goats of real estate. So, you know, you want to get your house moving? Because I have heard from some people, not the Live Love Group, that houses are sitting. If you get with them, they're going to move it.
That's right.
You want results, right? That's what the Live Love Memphis Group gets. Jennifer and her team are the best in town when it comes to those things. They can stage your home, make it look great. It is great. They can accentuate it, make it look even better. All you got to do is reach out. Sold at livelovememphis.com.
901-625-5200 is the number to get a hold of Jennifer Carstensen and this awesome, awesome team. Just get on the phone with them. You'll know what I'm talking about just that fast. She's wonderful. She becomes a family very quickly. And at the very least, listen, she's not going to take this personal. You decide to go with another group, another agent. At the very least, she's going to be a great resource for you. She's trying to improve Memphis by getting folks out of renting situations, rentership, and into home ownership. That's how you improve this place, make the city better. So if you've got questions, she's got answers. 625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, Turn FM, ESPN. Grizzlies back in action tonight against the Houston Rockets. Let's check on that. Let's check on how we're looking in that one, brother. I think it did get back up 3.5.
Yeah, I didn't realize it had moved.
Let's
mention that to Sain.
Because again, Taylor Jenkins has talked about, you know, the 6 games in 9 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's out to 3.5. Total's out to 225.5.
Well, see, I mean, Sain had mentioned that you know, at the end, and I think we were all sort of feeling when we were watching was sort of like, when's he going to put a job back in? When's he going to put a job back in? That's what seemed to be clear is that, you know, Taylor Jenkins don't want to do that here to start the year. And you kept him under 30 minutes, and there seems to be a plan to sort of do that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
While it did feel weird that you went with the sub, you pulled it off. Ja was able to come out when he needed to make the plays down the stretch. But no, it has to be critically important, guys. I know we look at him, and once he's on the floor, we say, my gosh, look how he changes everything, Ja Morant. He has not played a full season for the most part. Like that's and again, when you had the 40-something games missed after the shoulder last year, you know, keeping him on the floor, not overusing him, not having to grind out, you know, 35, 37 minutes just to get a win at Utah is what you got to do to get him to the playoffs, it feels like. They've got that as an organization, there are only so many things you can control, but you've got to go out of your way now to do everything you can to, you know, sort of limit him. It can't just be about go get every win, Ja.
Mm-hmm.
Go play 37, we'll get this one at Charlotte tonight. No, man, you got to stick to something in hopes of, you know, trying to curb this injury stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it worked the other night. Now, maybe I feel a little bit differently if they end up blowing that game and Ja's played less than 30, but listen, this is going to end up being a good team, but they don't get to where they want to go unless they're healthy.
Yep.
And that has been an issue for Ja Morant each year for the most part.
Exactly. Now, it's early in the season, so.
Minute limitation when you're playing 6 or 9, I don't mind it at all.
I don't want to put a minute limit, but like maybe like a, you know, I don't know how what you guardrails, you know, maybe we don't. Because, I mean,
you don't have to. I know the words come out limitation like it's a hard cap. It doesn't have to be a hard cap, John. If it's 31 one night, fine.
Right.
But what you get my point. I don't need him grinding out like 37, 38 minutes in regular season games that, frankly. Yeah. You know,
well, I mean, again, I mean, I'm not saying you're going to get away with it every time, but I mean the rotation did work against the Jazz. Now, again, that might be more about the Jazz than anything else.
I don't think it very much was.
That was a preseason rotation.
Well, remember they came back too from a 17 point deficit.
Right,
like, they very easily lost that game.
Yeah, it's going to be a different. I think this is going to be more intense. You know, it just feels like to me from a competitive standpoint.
Well, Houston expects to be something this year.
That's right.
To certainly be in vying for play-in status based on where they finished last year. And so there's a different level of pride, and especially you're coming off of a, of a loss to Charlotte at home, exactly. which is one you expected to get. So you absolutely going to get a team that expects to win tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, I highly doubt Utah did, even in its home opener. They hope to. Yeah, Houston's going to be – it's a different level, but that's not act like you're going, you know, way up the Western Conference right. standings here in terms of
– They just got players, right? They have a lot of players.
Well, what I think is they have a coach now, and that's what makes having a lot of players,
yeah.
you know, something that now you have to monitor and give a proper level of respect to. And it's Ime Udoka. It's not going to be the circus it had been down there, just a hodgepodge of talent. Now, you know, he's putting something together. So, yeah, you go down there with a proper level of respect, and you see what you can do.
Exactly.
Remember, this first night of a back-to-back, too. And again, even more reason not to go nuts with the minutes tonight on your main
At least try
guys.
To win.
And Lord knows Marcus Smart don't look like he can handle a heavy load right now in terms of minutes. So, hopefully it's similar to what you did against Utah.
Right. Yeah, I just think, like, just from
terms of minutes distribution.
From the way that I'm betting this, like, I bet, again, 218.5. I told you that. Over 218.5, it's 225.5. It feels like 225.5 is way closer to where it should be with the way that these Grizzlies are going to play. And I'm going to bet Grizzlies over. If I'm getting Grizzlies overs in the 2-1 somethings, I'm betting over every time just because they're playing so fast and they're shooting so many threes and they're just not there defensively without Jaren that, you know, I have to go over that. Now, the question will be
– I'd be concerned about repeating the how efficient you were from three.
Well, we're going to show you tonight. We're going to show you.
Because remember, Asante hit, what, five of them?
He did. I mean, he got open looks, so that's the offense, right? Like, he did get open looks. Mm-hmm. They weren't, like, luck, you know, so to speak. I mean, they were lucky in that, like, you could go in or you could not. But they were good generated looks,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I feel like Ja's going to be able to continue to get those, you know. And honestly, here's the other thing. Ja can turn up. Ja had, what, 22?
Yeah.
Ja can turn up, bro. We know that man can average 30 a game. So... You know, even if the three's not falling, that just probably means Ja will have to take a little bit more on his own and make up for it. So, yeah, it should be a fun night, man. It should be a fun night of basketball. It's a good game. I mean, a lot of personal, you know, between Dylan and the Grizzlies and I don't, maybe vice versa. I don't know. But, yeah, should be a fun night. They basically – I'm looking at their minute distribution, bro. Like, you may play them folks – It's basically like a six-man rotation. I mean, he played Jabari Smith, 33 minutes, Dylan, 31, Sengun, 34, Van Vliet, 37, Jalen Green, 35. And then the next guy is Amin Thompson at 22. And then you get to 16s. So that man running his starters into the ground. He's like the West Thibodeau.
Yeah, he's trying to establish a culture. He's a little bit, you know, early in the process than where the Grizzlies are, where you're trying to
– Right.
You know what these guys are, and now you just need to get it whole to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're at a different phase, you know, a different part of the road.
I mean, the idea that Ja Morant only played 21 minutes, which is less than Dylan played, is, like, kind of crazy, man. It's kind of crazy. We'll see if they can get away with that tonight. My guess is probably not. I mean, are you going to be able to get away with 16 minutes from Jake LaRavia in this game tonight? I mean, he might play 16 minutes, but it's not going to be in the context of a competitive game, it feels like. You know, it'd have to be like you're just kind of punting on it. So
Ja's never played more than 67 games in a season. It was his first year.
Wow.
That's what I'm telling you.
That was a 19 – was that 18 – no, it was 1920.
Mm-hmm. That 63, was, 57, 61, obviously, you know,
that was
nine.
And that was COVID shortened.
Last year. Yeah. That was the year, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, and the number 65.
Right,
we've been past that number once.
Right,
the first year.
No, that's smart. It's smart, and he's again.
So we have to take this seriously, right. and I get it. He's not out there. What are we doing? We got a bigger picture to look at here, guys.
Yep, absolutely. It's
keeping him on the floor.
Anyway, Grizz and Rockets tonight on 99 FM ESPN should be a fun one tonight in the Western Conference. We'll come back NFL. Week, what is it, week eight?
Yes.
Week eight. We'll talk about that. Some plays that I'm looking at over the weekend. I have a prop. I have a prop I like as well.
All right.
Which we'll discuss. It's pretty obvious once I get to it, but I think you'll agree. We'll do that and more when we get back. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.